Thank you, Carol. Let's take our Bibles and go to 1 Peter chapter 3. The Bible is the word of life and covers all things that pertain to life and godliness. And it reveals many, many things about all the areas of life. But of all the things that the Bible reveals, the greatest thing that it reveals is God. It lets us know who God is, what God will do. And one of the great themes throughout the Bible is that God is the God of answered prayer. And again, of all the different activities that we are involved with in our walk with God, certainly, as we're going to see this morning, at the top of the list of priority is our prayer life. Now, we are here studying that the Word of God works. And a big aspect of seeing the Word of God works is for each one of us to prove it in our own life. You can hear about others, what have they've done before us. We've heard wonderfully at the first hour about Gideon. And it's great to learn from Gideon's example, but we too need to take the Word of God, believe it, and prove it to ourselves. Perhaps there's no greater category in our life that we can prove God than by prayer. There was a man that many of you are familiar with that lived in the 19th century in Great Britain named George Mueller. And he wanted to prove that God hears and answers prayer. And he kept a diary that spans many decades, and he recorded over 50,000 specific prayers that he made to God that God heard and answered. Stunning example to all of us of a man who proved the Word of God. And we too can do that. That when we pray, we should expect that God hears and answers our prayers. In 1 Peter chapter 3, it says in verse 12, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous." Isn't it wonderful to know that God watches over us? And then it says, "And his ears are open unto their prayers." God watches over us and God hears us. His ears are open to our prayers. Look at Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15. It says in verse 8, "The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his," what? "Delight." You know, God not only hears our prayers, but he delights in our prayers. God wants us to come to him in everything. How many times have you heard that in the manifestations? We read in our opening Monday night. Doesn't Monday night seem like a long time ago? But God's encouragement that we would pour our heart out unto him. He is our refuge. He delights to hear from his children. Look at James chapter 5. James chapter 5, verse 16, it says, "Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man does" what? "Avails much." In other words, when we pray effectually to God, it works. It works much. God hears us. God delights in our prayer. His great desire is to answer our prayer. When we pray to God, it works. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. You know, there's some things that are right to do at some times, and then not right to do at other times. You know, sometimes it can be very wonderful to speak God's word to somebody. There might be times where God wants you to shut up and listen. You know, there's many activities that need to be in the right place at the right time. Tongues with interpretation is fantastic in a believer's meeting. It's not so good if you're, you know, riding the bus home from work. Be a little indecent out of order, wouldn't it? But, you know, there's never a time when it isn't right to pray. Prayer is to be our constant, continual activity. We did a whole family camp here a number of years ago that was on one simple three-word verse. You know what the verse was? Pray without ceasing. Is that, in light of that verse, is there ever a time where you shouldn't pray? No, pray without ceasing. Look at what it says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Praying always. Is there any time that's accepted from always? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And those words "in the Spirit" give us an indication of how we can pray always or pray without ceasing by speaking in tongues. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Go to Philippians chapter 4. Bruce handled this early in the week, remember, when you're in a fix, Philippians 4:6. But it says, be careful or be anxious for nothing, but in everything. Again, you see how all-inclusive that is? You know, always, without ceasing, for all saints, in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then it says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, these two verses, when you understand them together, are fantastic, because it starts with anxiety, you know, and it concludes with peace. That's a pretty good trade, wouldn't you say? Trade your anxiety, your stress, for peace. Well, how do you do that? Prayer. You know, praying in everything. Look at Colossians chapter 4. You know, you could think of it, what breathing is to your physical life, prayer is to your spiritual life. Is there ever a time where you shouldn't breathe? That would be problematic. God would have us to pray to Him always. It says in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. You know, part of what we can pray for is for the outreach of God's word, that God would open doors of utterance so that people can speak God's word freely and others receive it and believe it. It says in Colossians chapter 4, verse 12, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, salutes you, always laboring, how? Fervently for you in prayers. You know, this guy didn't just pray a little bit. He always prayed, and when he prayed how? Fervently. He labored. He worked at it. And then it goes on to say, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Evidently, a part of each believer growing and becoming fully mature is prayer. You know, one of the reasons that we all get really super blessed here at camp is because we pray a lot, don't we? I mean, you know, in your hour of power, everybody prays. I know those of us that are conducting the camp, we get up early in the morning to pray, and we pray for every one of you by name. And then we get together with other groups and pray, and we pray throughout the day. I've told some of you, by the time we raise the flag, I feel like my day is about half over because I've taken all the burden of the day and given it to God. And God hears and answers our prayer. And it's part of the prayer is that each one of you may stand perfect and complete in the will of God, that you grow up. That's what God would have us to do. Look at Mark chapter 1, please. As in every other category of life, certainly the greatest example of a prayer life is that of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's funny how sometimes people won't even consider the real basic fundamental things that Jesus Christ did all the time. And certainly a big part of it was prayer. And the other thing was is that he taught the word all the time. That's what he did. He just taught the word. He was a teacher. Mark chapter 1, in verse 35, it says, "And in the morning," or in Mark 1:35, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day." Now that would refer to before the sun rose. Great while before sunrise. "He went out and departed into a solitary place and there," what? "Prayed." I would say that perhaps as much as any other man that's ever lived, Jesus Christ had great demands on his life. And if you don't believe that, just go back and mark and see what the day was like before this verse was written. But he organized his life. He disciplined himself to take the time to pray. He got up really early so that he could pray. Look at Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, it says in verse 12, "And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray." Mark spoke of a solitary place. Here it speaks of a mountain. Jesus Christ went out into a mountain to pray and continued how long? All night in prayer to God. You know, that's a lot of praying. Prayed all night. He got up real early in the morning to pray. Here he's praying all night to God. And then what follows is his selection of the 12 apostles. Certainly one of the most important decisions that he had to make in his ministry is who would, out of all of his disciples, who would be the 12 apostles? Are any of you in situations where you have to make decisions? You know, we all do. Jesus Christ, in making an important decision, well, what did he do? He prayed all night to God, and then he chose the 12 apostles. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, please. These verses should really reinforce and impact our brain cells as far as the priority of prayer. You know, there might be some things that get squeezed out of a busy schedule, but never should it be prayer. 1 Timothy chapter 2, it says in verse 1, "I exhort therefore that first of all," so again, first of all sort of sets priority, doesn't it? "That first," what, Jesus Christ? First thing in the morning. In fact, even before sunrise, what did he do? Prayed. "I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men." Again, all inclusive. And then it says specifically, verse 2, "for kings and for all that are in authority." You know, well, praise God, in the United States, we don't have a king. But we do have a president. You know, we do have congressmen. We have all that are in authority. You know, God's encouragement is for us to pray for them. You know, there's nothing in the Bible that instructs a Christian to be politically minded. You know, a lot of the times when I get politically minded, it's just sort of a downer. You know, you can get all these debates and stuff that doesn't really help that much. You know, but God does encourage us to be spiritually minded. And really, our political involvement is, most importantly, priority, pray. You know, I love our country. You know, I consider myself a patriot. But I know that the greatest contribution that I can make is by praying for all that are in authority. And then it says, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So God's word says, first of all, do what? Pray. Now look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. In verse 1, it says, finally, brethren, do what? Pray. And it says, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not believing. It's rather apparent. But isn't it wonderful that God's word says, first of all, pray. And here it says, finally pray. And you know what we're to do in between? Continue in prayer. That's right. You know, pray for everybody. You know, pray for all saints. You know, pray for men and women in authority. You know, pray that each one of us may grow up and stand perfect and complete in the will of God. We can pray two ways. We can pray with our understanding, which is terrific. And we can also pray perfectly via the Spirit. And that is even more terrific because we can pray for even the things that we don't understand. So what we would like to do at this point is we're going to give each of us some time for what you can think of as a duo. Now, I know people talk about solos, but this isn't a solo. This is a duo. It's you and God. And we have, some time up to Hour of Power, where I'd like for you to just go out and find a quiet place here at camp, somewhere within earshot of the bell, because at the conclusion of this duo, we'll ring the bell. And when the bell rings, then it's time to head to Hour of Power, okay? But a time for you to pour your heart out to the Lord, for you to make your requests known, for you to implement the things that we just looked at in God's Word. I know that there's challenges that each one of us face. Well, we can take those things and pray to God and trade that particular stress or challenge for peace. We can go to God and know that it's His delight, that His ears are open to our prayers, and that that which we're doing is effectual, that it avails much. So this will be a great time for you and the Heavenly Father to spend some time and just make your request known, to pour your heart out unto Him. Okay, so does everybody understand what we're going to do? Okay, so head out and, well, Carol, at some point, you can do this whenever you want, but at some point by the end of the morning, we do want you to take all your personal possessions out of the teaching center. Okay, if you want to leave them here now, that's fine. If you want to, might be good to take your Bible and notebook with you for your duo. It's not bad. George Mueller did a little thing with his diary where his prayer requests he wrote down, and then to see God answer and check off those answers, that's terrific. So, but at some point, take your stuff out of here before the end of the morning, okay?